Track 9. Henry was out in the woodlands, so it makes sense to stay in the countryside. Many of you will be familiar with the voice of farmer and award-winning broadcaster Chris Skinner. Chris is going to send Just Talk regular reports from High Ash Farm, just south of Norwich. Here he is with an up-to-date report.
Good morning, everybody. And the sun is, well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and the sun's sort of barely above the horizon at this time of the year. But nevertheless, we are getting more daylight each day and each week as we progress through January. And this is the time of the year when many people suffer from that syndrome. It's called SAD, seasonally affected disorder. And I can quite understand, because out in the Norfolk countryside, most of the colours are very muted and browns and greys here, there and everywhere. A lot of wet weather. But it's a time of year I've learnt to actually love, and it fills me with sort of hope and expectation, because if you're out in the countryside and you know where to look, there's all the signs of spring that you would want to see at this time of the year. And nature kind of prepares itself from the word go. There's no sort of beginning and end to each of the seasons. They sort of merge into each other, but it's a continuous cycle. It's a like a wheel, and you can choose to look at it at any time of the year. And it's, some parts of the year are duller or not so interesting as other parts, but if you know where to look, it's a really cheerful time, because the whole countryside is filled with hope. I suppose that's the way to describe it. So I'm in an area of woodland at the bottom of quite a large river cliff, and it's nice and warm. It's south facing, and it's sandy, gravelly soil, and it's one of the delights of the Norfolk countryside in this area of woodland. It's about to fill up with green and then blue with the bluebells. In the last week of April and the first week of May, this is a most amazing sight. There are millions and millions of bluebells, early purple orchids coming out into flower at that time of the year. But in the meantime, it's a process of gradually growing away. And so, first step is down on my hands and knees, and just the leaf litter is about 3-4 inches deep here, and I'm just going to move some of the leaves. And immediately, there's literally the whole ground is green, and the first flowers are already appearing. We've got snowdrops in this area of woodland, millions of them. And it's such as I've just moved some more leaves, and the clumps are everywhere where I'm kneeling, and lots of leaf litter. Just scrape that out of the way. Ouch, that was a sweet chestnut, still a bit prickly. And I've just uncovered about a square metre of ground, and there's hardly a space in between. And it's one of those things, how do they manage to grow in these cold conditions? Remember, just before Christmas time, we had that cold week, and yet these little flowers and buds were still coming through the soil. So bulbs at the bottom of the plants are rather like batteries. They've stored the energy from last summer's sun and kept that in the little bulb. If you like to call it a battery, you could do, because that's exactly how it works. It's a source of energy, and that enables these flowers, which got to get a shift on, remember, because I'm underneath a huge canopy of oaks and sweet chestnut, some sycamores as well, so lots of shade. So they need to get on and get into full leaf while there's still light on the woodland floor, and that gives them photosynthesis and enables them to store energy for next year's flowers in their bulbs and leaves. So there they are. Perfect sight. It's just lovely to see, and it certainly sort of gladdens the heart, because we can get some more cold weather, even snow, in the rest of this month. And some people call them snow piercers, because you can actually see them in flower coming up through the snow. Right, I'm just going to stand up and say 10 paces more up the side of this hill where the bluebells were last year. Here we are, and back down on my hands and knees. God, lots of been scratching. I think the deer have been in the woodland floor here, moving some of the leaf litter. So just move the leaves a little bit. There we are. And already I can see lots of light green shoots coming through, much, much larger shoots than we saw with the snowdrops a moment ago. And exactly the same principle happens here with the bluebells. So the bulbs are actually quite deep down in the soil. They're perhaps 4, 5, 6, 7 inches down. That's what, up to 200 millimeters down, some of them 8 inches deep in the soil. And the parent bulbs, the ones that came into flower last year, will come into flower again this year. And this display is what I call living heritage. We've all heard of the national heritage, the buildings, the cathedrals, the museums, the venerable old buildings that have been there hundreds and hundreds of years. That's sort of ancient heritage, and this is even older, if you like. These displays have probably been here since Roman times and before, because they just perpetuate themselves year after year. How do they do that? Right, so the bluebells come into flower, as I mentioned, last week of April, early May. And the little flower heads droop on one side, very demurely down, bright blue. Oh, we've got a very large sort of industrial plane going right over the top of me. That shattered the piece, but he'll soon be gone. So they produce their flowers. Then when they've been pollinated, the seeds drop on the ground. Tiny little black seeds, but they spend most of the summer on the stalks, and they're bright, shiny black seeds. Now, they then drop on the ground before autumn, and then the leaf litter, which I've just moved, drops on top of them. So it's very like a seed bed that you'd make in your garden. And as I've moved the leaf litter, it looks as though there's tiny white hairs all over the surface of the soil, immediately underneath the leaf litter. And believe it or not, this is the time of the year the bluebell seed germinates. So I'm just going to look down, and there's one of these little bright white shoots. It's not got any photosynthesis on it yet. The taproot has come out from a shiny black seed, which I'm holding in my hand, going straight down into the ground, and it's not yet sent anything green up above, which will form the leaves for this year. So these have just germinated, and these are the future of the bluebell display here. So gradually, as the leaf litter falls over decades to come, the bulbs get buried slightly deeper and deeper and deeper each year, till some of them are really, really deep. Quite, you know, some of the bulbs here are over a foot down in the soil, just by the natural building up of the soil level above them. Really interesting. And they do exactly the same thing. They store the energy from the sun in the months of sort of February, March, April and May. And once you get to the end of May, the display is finished, the leaves drop down onto the ground and just shrivel up brown, just leave the stalks there. It's almost by magic. And at that time of the year, the leaf canopy is in full leaf, if you like, above the trees, above my head. And so this area of woodland is plunged into quite dark conditions, whereas at the moment, because they're all deciduous trees around me, the light is quite high in the woodland. So it's a cheerful time of year. It's full of hope, full of promise as well, and that's one of the nice things in the countryside, that you have to wait, and it's that sort of expectation of better times ahead, if you like that. But in front of me, down on the ground, this interests me as much as when they're in full flower, because it's just part of that circle, and the plants have to go through this circle just as we do with our lives. It's kind of a circular thing. You're born, and then at the end of it you pass away. But we're subject to exactly the same process. And so that's why it's always interesting to have a glance at any time in the Norfolk countryside of the life cycles of all the different things that live out in the Norfolk countryside. Absolutely fascinating. So beautiful with that low sun and the hope of the display right in front of me.
Thank you, Chris. I may not have the millions of blooms on High Ash Farm, but I can see lots of flowers here too in my garden, although I must admit, I'm not so aware of all the fungus.